Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to this episode of This Dude Started Something. Do you guys ever feel like your bucket list is just a bunch of dreams collecting dust? What if there was a way to turn those dreams into reality with a little help from AI and a supportive community? Today, we're diving into the world of Bucket Match AI with its founder, Jeremy George. After a life-altering journey of completing 52 bucket list goals in 52 weeks, Jeremy wanted to create a platform to help others do the same.
If you want to bungee jump safely off a bridge, do the monkey bars 50 times back and forth, or even open a frozen yogurt shop, Bucket Match is the place for you. Please welcome Jeremy George, everybody. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing great. Super excited to be here. I've heard a couple of your episodes. I know you guys crushed the intro, so I was curious to see what you're going to put together for me. I love it. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here, man. We're really excited as well. So just to get a little bit of background, can you tell us a little bit about your what a year so we can understand like the meaning behind Bucket Match and how it got started?
For sure. Yeah. So before starting Bucket Match, which, as you guys said, online platform to connect people based on bucket list goals, I did this project that I called the What a Year Project. This was right kind of at the height of COVID. I was actually laid off from my job and that catalyzed this initiative. And so what I decided to do is I tried to cross off 52 goals for my bucket list in 52 weeks, which is 1 year. And after that year, I had an opportunity to give a TEDx talk about that experience. And that kind of led me to starting the company I have today.
Wow. Dude, how is that? How long did it take you to prepare for that TEDx talk? Like, was that kind of nerve wracking?
Well, it's funny because actually one of the things on my bucket list is to give a TED talk someday, really? You know? And so as part of that process, I learned that one of the easiest ways to get on the TED stage, which is like the true, you know, formal stage, is to do a TEDx talk. And for anyone who doesn't know, the distinction of TEDx are like locally run events. So they're not TED official. They're sponsored by TED, but you could be at a high school. They even have TEDx talks at prisons, like literally anywhere. And so mine was for a high school in San Jose. Preparing for the TED talk actually wasn't that nerve-wracking, only because I didn't think anyone was going to watch it anyway. So I was like, you know, I'm just here to like tell my story, maybe inspire some high school kids to like go do things. So I was just excited more than anything.
That's cool. Yeah, I actually just made an account this morning on Bucket Match and I literally added do a TED talk to my bucket list. That's pretty
awesome,
cool. I added like 36 things. There's a lot of good stuff on there.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, what would you do your TED talk about, bro?
For me?
Yeah.
I don't know yet, man. Maybe the podcast one day. I don't know.
That'd be sick, dude.
That's the thing, man. You got to just add it to the list, you know, and then you find ways. Like when I wrote it on my list, I was 19 years old in college. And the reason I added it to my list wasn't because I thought I had done anything worthy of a TED talk yet. But I was like, man, I watched all these talks and I was like, this is someone who took like 30 years of like deep domain expertise on this one thing and they consolidated it into 20 minutes for someone like me to be able to digest. I hope that I get to a point in my life where I have something valuable enough to share with the world. So that's why I added it to my list. And then, you know, you'll figure it out later.
100%.
Yeah, that's a good point, dude. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Let's talk about the 52 different bucket list goals that you had. Oh, can you share some of those with us? And definitely like your favorites, maybe the hardest or the easiest as well.
Yeah. So if you can actually see the list, it's still live. If you go to www.whatayearproject.com, that was kind of like my blog of sorts where I just documented everything I tried to do. And I share like stories and videos and stuff behind some of the goals. I think the first thing I always like to say is when people hear the term bucket list, they usually conjure up things of like, you know, epic nature, right? Like skydiving or like climbing Mount Everest and like all these like really big, meaningful things. And those should definitely be on your bucket list. And those are things on my bucket list too. But I just like to emphasize that a true bucket list is literally anything that you want to do or try before you die, right? And some of those things can feel very meaningless or trivial or whatever it is. But if it matters to you, you should write it down. And so for me, I had a lot of small things on my list too. Like, you know, I wanted to pay for a stranger's meal. I wanted to learn how to play guitar. I wanted to dye my hair just because I was like curious what that would look like.
I just saw that one. Dude, nice. You look crazy with the blonde.
Yeah, man. And like, you know, for someone else that might be like, I couldn't care less if I ever, you know, dyed my hair. But for me, I was like, I'm just so curious, like what that would be like. It's an experience that I've never had before.
Oh,
so those are the kinds of things on my list. But then I also, you know, like I went to go see the Northern Lights. I went cliff jumping in Hawaii. I did go skydiving, which is a typical one. The probably the most challenging one was I biked 650 miles from San Francisco to San Diego. I grew up in the Bay Area, but I went to college in San Diego. So I always felt like that path, you know, had sentimental value for me. So that was a 10-day trip. I had a bunch of different buddies that joined along the way. But that was a fun one.
Dude, that's intense, bro. Bro, yeah, like the bucket list thing, dude, like what else? Why would you not have a bucket list, you know, and actually do stuff? Like that's what life's about, is like, you know, doing stuff like that. Like I feel like you've really been out here like living and stuff. And like a lot of people can't really say that. And yeah, was there anything that you did on your bucket list you're like low-key kind of disappointed with, or it didn't really live up to the hype and you're kind of like, dang, that wasn't as cool?
That's such a good question. Yeah, that's such a good question. Let me think on that real quick, because there's for sure there is an answer.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. You've done so much. It's like,
yeah, and that was years ago too. I'm sure you've done even more now.
It was years ago, yeah, and you know, obviously I've done a lot of things since then. So one of the things that I actually failed at, but I tried. So one of the things on my bucket list was to try to turn $1,000 into $10,000 within 24 hours, just to like see like how crazy could we get with it. Yeah. And so, you know, I did all this research of like, what's the best way to do that? You could buy a lottery ticket, or like you could, you know, try to like sell like a shit ton of umbrellas in the middle of, winter in like Seattle. But I was like, it's going to be really hard to 10X my money doing anything other than just gambling. Like that's basically what I landed on. So my buddies and I, we went to Vegas. It was during March Madness weekend. So we knew there were going to be a lot of games, like a lot of things to bet on. And we were like, we're just going to figure it out, right? We've got a 24-hour period, start with $1,000, end with $10,000. We ended up losing like $500 net at the end of it. And it was a total, like, just like we just loss after loss after loss after loss. But the thing is, like, it was still such a fun experience. And I think that's one of the things that I really try to emphasize with Bucket Match, is that, like, it's not even really about actually successfully achieving the thing on your bucket list. Obviously, yes, that's like the great cherry on top. One of the things that I learned through this experience of trying to do 52 things that I'd literally never done before, and to try to do it all in 1 year, was you learn that, like, as cheesy as it sounds or as cliche as it is, it's truly the process more than the outcome that's actually enjoyable and memorable. Because that was still a great experience. It's still a fun memory. Do I wish I was $10,000 richer? Yeah, obviously that would be great. But just the fact that we went and we tried to do this thing, this experience we'd never had before, that's what makes it meaningful. And like, really my mantra for life is, I think a rich life is one where you've experienced a lot of things, regardless of whether you succeeded or not.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you're doing it with like, people too. That's kind of goes along, like Bucket Match is designed to collaborate, and like that's what you're saying, it's about the process, like who you're doing it with, you know. And that's something really cool about Bucket Match, is you can collab with other people and like reach your goals together.
When I was doing my project just a couple months in, I learned that one of the biggest indicators of whether I successfully achieved something or not was if I just had one other person looped in. Whether it was someone who was joining me to try to do the thing together, or simply helping hold me accountable for whatever the goal was, or someone who had actually maybe done that thing, already, and they could just show me the ropes, help me do it faster, have more fun doing it, right? Like, I wanted to start a podcast. Had I met you guys before, I probably would have been like, hey guys, how do I do this thing? There's all this stuff and this, you know, skills that you've accumulated that you could pass on. And what I realized was that I should have a rule that for every goal on my bucket list, I need to involve at least one other person. And so that was the birth of Bucket Match, was how do I create a tool or a world in which people can just share what's on their bucket list? And then our job is to algorithmically go find other people that might be able to help you out in some way with whatever that goal is. Because the reality is we all have so much value that we can exchange with each other. We just need the right medium through which to do it.
Oh, definitely. And it's a great idea that like no one had thought of before, but like bucket lists have been around forever. And it's just like, proves that not every idea is taken. Like for entrepreneurs out there, there's still things that need to be done to create a simpler process to still help people. And I'm actually on like the What a Year site right now. I'm on number 17, pick a country blindfolded and go there. Were you a little nervous about that? Because honestly, I think you got kind of lucky with Costa Rica. It's not like two out of the way.
You definitely peaked, dude.
I got super lucky on that one. So this was one, I actually think that for me, and not everyone should judge their lives this way, but I feel most alive when I'm terrified that I might like die, which, you know, which is a very extreme thing. But like, you know, so that's why people like to go bungee jumping, skydiving, or like whatever it is, right? So when there's a little bit of risk or danger involved, that, you know, it gets me more excited. And so I thought like, man, okay, just like pick a random country and go. The big asterisk and the reason we got so lucky is we were doing this. I did this with two of my buddies when we were still kind of coming out of COVID. The world was still sort of opening up. And so what that meant is there were a ton of travel restrictions. And most of those countries that we were restricted from going to were like war-torn nations or places with terrorist activity. So the list wasn't the whole world. It was like, okay, 20 countries that we could go to. And of those 20, like 19 of them were pretty sweet destinations. So that one has a big asterisk next to it. But, you know, the spirit of like still just blindly, you know, choosing a country, right, not knowing where we're going. And then within 48 hours, we were in that place. That was the adventure.
That's sick. Oh, so which belt did you earn in martial arts?
Let's see. Oh, I just earned a yellow belt. I went white to yellow. That was it. And I learned that I don't want to do karate anymore. So it was, Braden, maybe that's a good answer to your question of one of the ones that disappointed me. But yeah, you know, it was a fun experience to try. But yeah, I'm good on karate.
Do you almost feel like through this whole process you've kind of become like a jack of all trades? Because I mean, like, there's so many skills I feel like you've kind of built along the way.
Yeah.
Like, what are some of the skills that stand out to you that you've built while doing these bucket list activities?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of chicken or the egg. I think on the one hand, candidly, I also think that like just for most of my life, I've sort of felt like a jack of all trades. Like I've always felt like I was pretty good at a lot of things. I was never like the best at any one thing, but most anything, even as like a kid that you would throw at me, like I was pretty good in school. I was pretty good with friends, pretty good at sports. So I felt like I was above average at a lot of things. But because of that, I had so many interests. I had so many things I wanted to pursue. You know, like I played piano when I grew up, but I was also like the quarterback of my high school football team. And I kind of felt like it gave me like these sort of dual or multiple identities, because we often try to get labeled or like put in as like a jock or like the nerd or the goth or whatever it is. And I just didn't really feel like I fit in any one category. And that was part of what inspired me to start this bucket list, was like, it's a safe space where I can just throw everything that I want to do. I don't have to fit this one parallel path that society has ascribed to me. With that said, you know, to answer your question directly, I think the biggest skill that I've taken away from this is just the recognition of all the parallels between what it takes to, you know, bike 650 miles down the coast of California to being able to, you know, learn a magic trick that I can do anywhere. Like two drastically different skill sets. But anytime you have a goal or you're trying to achieve something you've never done before, you pretty much always follow the same process. And so that's given me the confidence or the conviction to continue to try to do new things, like starting a company. I'd never started a company before. But I had more confidence, not because I'd ever done the company, but because I'd done all these other things that I also didn't know how to do when I first started. And you realize like, you kind of just got to start.
Yeah. Exactly. So like completing things on your bucket list and learning the process is a skill in itself, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great summary. Yep.
Yeah. That's cool, dude. That makes me really just want to do a bunch of stuff. Cause like people don't realize how much time like they waste too. Like,
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Like I recently just gave up kind of like scrolling on social media, and like even that alone is just kind of like I've just like not really been as bored. Like I haven't labeled myself as bored, because like before I would go and scroll if I was bored, but now it's like, okay, I'm gonna go do something because I have the time, you know what I mean? I have so much more time.
Yep.
And so yeah dude, I think a lot
plus
of
like,
people
like all the stories, like,
oh yeah,
you've done 52 crazy things in 52 weeks. The amount of stories that you have from that, multiple great stories from each thing. I mean,
dude, yeah.
Imagine someone's talking about California and then you're like, oh yeah, I bike like 650 miles. Like that's insane. And like you get to see so many places, do so many things. It's just sick.
I think so. I think stories are a big thing. You know, my dad, so growing up, my dad was a travel writer. And so his job was literally to go places and then, you know, write about it. And sometimes you go somewhere and like, honestly, there was nothing cool about that place, right? But it was still his job to find beauty in like the minuscule small moments. And so I think I was just raised with sort of this view of the world, or this lens of like, how can I find something cool to share, a learning opportunity or whatever it is, a moment that I can pass on to other people. And so my dad really ingrained that in me as a kid. And that to me is what makes pursuing your bucket list so enticing, is like, yeah, when I'm laying on my deathbed, I want to be able to look back and have no regrets. You know, there was a study done that 76% of people laying on their deathbed are more likely to regret the things they did not do. Right? It's not the mistakes they made or like the things they failed at. They're more likely to regret not taking more risks, not pursuing more creative outlets that they wanted to, you know, not going after that romantic interest that they had, whatever it is. Those are the things that you regret. And I'm convicted to not be that person, right? I want to be that 24% who looks back on their life and like, yeah, I did it.
This kind of popped up in my head earlier. Like, would you rather be really good at one thing, or I feel like I kind of know your answer, but or be like a jack of all trades and like kind of dabble in a little bit of everything?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I would love to be really good at one thing. And I actually, like, when I think about my most successful friends, or even, you know, just like sort of people in my network, a lot of them are like really freaking good at one thing, right? And like, yeah, they've just become the domain expert, and like that's brought them a lot of success and joy in life. And you know, sometimes it's people that I didn't necessarily think were going to be especially successful when I first knew them, you know, years ago, but they found their thing. And like, that's awesome. And so I would love to be that guy. But what I've just found naturally for me is I don't think I'm that guy. I don't think there's any one thing that I can obsess about other than bucket list. So I'm sort of obsessing about the lack of singular obsession, right? Like, there's nothing for me that I want to spend 10,000 hours doing, other than experiencing as much of life as possible. Yeah. So that was part of what crystallized for me of building this company, is it's something that I wouldn't mind spending, you know, 100 hours a week working on, because I love it.
So I'm guessing you'd say that a bucket list cannot be too long, because I think that's a lot of people's concern, is like, shoot, is this too much to accomplish? Yeah. Do you think it can ever get too long?
Yeah, it's a great question. So short answer, no. And I think it really just comes down to like who you are, right? And so what I mean by that is, as long as everything on your list elicits the right emotion in you, where it's something that inspires you, it intrigues you, it gets you more excited about life, then it should be on your bucket list. And for some people, that might be 10 things, and for others, it might be 1,000. We don't need to go down this path unless you guys want to, but the story behind why I started my What a Year project is actually a lot darker, right? We've talked about a lot of the exciting things, but for me, I had hit a point in my life where I felt like I had hit my rock bottom and I was actually struggling with suicidal ideation. I hadn't looked at my bucket list in years, but as part of getting out of that, I revisited that bucket list that I started when I was 19 years old, you know, and I was looking at it 10 years later. And it reinvigorated in me this sense of enthusiasm for life that I hadn't felt in a very long time. And I realized that, you know, it's not because my bucket list was like super cool or epic, but it's because everything that I wrote down mattered to me. And that sparked in me the sense of wonder and excitement to be alive again. And so that's why I think it's so important to have a bucket list.
Yeah, that's so powerful that it could do that. And that you've created something from such a dark time. And now you've helped numerous other people, probably maybe they were in that same space, and now they've actually accomplished something amazing as well. Do you have any like success stories from people that have used the service?
Yeah, well, I've had a lot of people reach out and say, so short answer, yes. Like a lot of people have gone off and do, you know, they do cool things and they cross off things, you know, go to Joshua Tree or go see the hot air balloons in Cappadocia. So yeah, a lot of like cool success stories of people like doing stuff. But the ones to me that are most powerful are when people reach out who were maybe in a similar place, right? Who they were struggling to find a reason to get up in the morning. They were struggling to figure out why they should still exist on this planet. And for those people to reach out and say, hey, you know what? I started my bucket list today. And for the first time in a long time, I'm like actually excited to go do something. That's why I started this company, right? I wanted to help that old version of myself.
Yeah. So let's say you have like a, for like the average person out there, let's say like the 9 to 5, like worker, how do you manage a bucket list? I know this site that you created helps, but what's your strat? Like when you're working, you got family life going on, how do you manage?
Yeah, man. It's hard. There's no sugarcoating, right? Like we have so many demands and so many things pulling on us every single day now. I wrote down a list of like my top 10 lessons. It's actually on the What a Year Project website. So if you go to like the lessons section, you can see. And then in my TED talk, I distilled it down to the 5 that I think are most important. So the first that I like to start with is confront mortality or confront the end, like whatever that is, right? So in my case, you know, it's mortality. Like I will die someday, right? And so like, what am I going to care about at the end of that? And when you put yourself in that moment, some of the trivial things that are pulling at you right now, the stresses, the priorities, whatever it is, you'll realize how small they are. When you think so deeply about like when I'm 100 years old or when I'm 80 years old, whatever it is, and I'm looking back on this time in my life, you know, I'm 25 years old or whatever it is, I'm not going to give a shit about like half the things that I'm worried about right now. So it actually helps you sort of get clarity around like what matters to you. So the first step, number one, is confront mortality. Or confront the end, like I said. So for some people, like if you're a college student, you might be like, I don't know, like death is so far away for me. But then I would say, okay, well, think about the moment you graduate college, right? That's 4 years that you'll never get back. A lot of seniors, when you ask them, you know, what do you regret the most about college? They're, again, not going to regret the stupid things that they did. They're probably more likely to regret the things they didn't do. They're going to regret that they didn't, you know, go do more things. They didn't join more clubs. They didn't like try that crazy road trip with their buddies just spontaneously. Like those are the things they're going to regret. So put yourself in that moment, reflect back. And then the beauty of it is now you can actually do something about it. You have those 4 years to make sure you don't have those regrets. Step number two is catalog your dreams. And I say catalog intentionally because writing down your dreams is not enough. There was a study done that showed that just by writing down your goals, you're 42% more likely to achieve whatever you wrote down. That was a study done by the Dominican University on goal setting. But I like to say catalog your dreams because I think that you want to bring some emotion into it as well. So add photos, picture, like videos, whatever it is, quotes, journal entries, newspaper clippings, you know, create a vision board of sorts to like really bring out what does this goal actually mean to you? Why do you give a shit? Step number three is recruit a partner. So I already talked to you guys about this, but I found that the most helpful thing is to find other people that want in on your goals. And the easiest way to do that is just to keep sharing your bucket list with as many people as possible. And the truth is most people won't actually give a shit, right? Like that's the very honest truth is like, they'll be like, cool, man, like good luck, right? And they won't look at it. But you will find that one person or two people who are so deeply invested in something that you're trying to do too, and you maybe had no idea. So share your list, recruit your community. You'll be amazed to see how people want to help. Number four is set SMART parameters. So SMART being an acronym, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time bound. You just need to put some objective criteria around what your goal is. So for example, I see in Bucket Match, a lot of people say, I want to learn how to speak a new language. That's a great goal to have, but that's super unspecific, right? Like how will I know when I've officially checked this off? Is it when I'm able to say five words? Is it when I'm able to have a 15-minute conversation? Is it when I'm able to like give a dissertation in this language, right? So you want to clearly articulate for you, what does it mean to say I've learned how to speak, you know, Cantonese or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then number five, which I think is actually the most important one, is to celebrate failure. Most of the things on your bucket list, you're going to fail at the first time you try. And frankly, like if you don't fail, then that means it probably wasn't like a big enough goal, right? And that's okay. But so like you need to get addicted to the act of trying, not succeeding. Just get addicted to the act of trying. And so the way that I do that is I would celebrate whenever I got rejected or turned down or I failed at something. That was a moment to celebrate because it means I at least gave it a shot. Even like to get that TEDx talk, for example. You know, most people don't know this, but like I reached out to 11 different organizations and I only heard back from one. But that was the one that said, sure, we'd love to have you. So yeah, you got to go through rejection and failure.
Exactly. Every no is closer to a yes. And fun fact, I actually just crossed off a bucket list item this morning. I made perfect over medium eggs for the first time.
Oh, let's go.
Hell yeah, awesome. Dude. I love that.
How'd you measure if they were perfect? Did you have like Braun eat them? Like,
no, dude, it's just me. That, well, because like with over medium, you want it to just be like a little runny yolk.
Yeah.
And like you also like have to make sure you flip it and not completely ruin it. Normally I ruin it. Yolk gets everywhere. But I kind of nailed it today.
The flip is crucial, bro. Dude, I made one of the best burgers I've ever eaten like a couple nights ago.
Cross it off.
That's what I'm saying, bro. And I like never even made a burger before, but I looked up like a, what's that chef's name?
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay, yeah. I just watched like a 2-minute YouTube video and now I'm like obsessed with cooking, dude, because I made a good burger.
Same, bro. Me with the eggs. And yeah, like those five steps are absolutely crucial, like you said.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about partnering with kind of a suicidal awareness page or company and maybe trying to help people that were in your situation like more directly, like come up with a new purpose through a bucket list? Because I think that could be a really cool idea.
That's a great idea.
Like a cool project.
It's a great idea. Yeah, it's a great idea. It's something I've thought about. I haven't pursued it yet. But yeah, it's absolutely a great idea. One of the things that I actually started seeing is we were starting to get a few users that were joining Bucket Match who came from like AA, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, right, meetings or other, you know, sort of recovery programs that said part of their homework was to actually go create a bucket list. And that's how they found out about Bucket Match in the first place. So yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea. It's a good opportunity. Good reminder that I should look into it.
Yeah, we
slap it on the bucket list.
And we can definitely help you with that project too. We would love to do that. We love and we've been trying to get into more like social work and less just I don't know.
Randomness.
Like, yeah. Because we really do want to implement change. I mean, we want to encourage people to start something and so we'd love to help with that if we can. So
yeah, that's an awesome initiative. You know, there's this loneliness epidemic that is pervasive throughout the entire United States and the world. And so I think a lot of people are looking for a good solution to it.
Definitely,
yeah. What was it like seeing people use your platform for the first time? Like, Was it just kind of surreal, and were you like, dang, this is cool? And like, are you able to see like them kind of communicating back and forth? And I don't know, what was that like?
Watch them.
Well, yeah, not a creepy way. Not a creepy way, but like, just like, I mean, it's all public, you know, right? Isn't it? Like, you can see,
not
like,
the messages, Brian.
Well, not the messages, but like what their bucket list ideas are, right?
Yeah, the messages are all private, but yeah, you can see what's on other people's bucket lists. You can see, we have this new feature that's coming out called a storyboard. So if you cross something off your bucket list, you can then like add photos and videos, and we prompt you with a few questions, you know, like, would you do it again? What was the craziest part? What's one thing you learned? Stuff like that. And so
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You'll be able to see people's storyboards. But yeah, I mean, it's super rewarding to see people using it. For, I guess, just for some context to give you guys a timeline. So I launched Bucket Match December 15th. So exactly 4 months ago, actually today, to the public. So we're still like very new and, you know, building this thing out.
Yeah.
So every month has been different, you know, and like just constantly seeing new things, having a lot more new problems, you know, customer support tickets, things breaking in the platform. So frankly, like, it's just been balls to the wall. And I feel like I should spend more time to like pause, reflect, and enjoy the process, you know, as I try to tell other people to do. But yeah, it's been an insane journey so far.
Yeah. And
is it completely free, the platform?
100% free. Yep.
Nice. I kind of get like what you're saying. Like when you're kind of just working, you're so focused on just moving forward. You do need time to reflect though. But also at the same time, it's like when we created this podcast, Oliver, it's kind of like we expected like listeners, like because we had good goals. We were like, okay, people are going to listen. We need them to listen. So it's almost like sometimes you kind of skip over the first few people that really like pay attention because it's like, we expected it. We had good goals for ourselves, but also you need to like appreciate those people. Yeah. So I like your advice on like, we need to take time to like feel rewarded and, you know, take time to appreciate those people too. So if I wanted to, I could go on Bucket Match right now and like put bucket list ideas out to people, or how does that work?
Yeah. So the way that it works is you go to bucketmatch.ai, you sign up, mm-hmm. create a free account, and then you can write down whatever's on your bucket list. So your main homepage is just basically a list page where you write down everything you want to do. And then you have the option to like commemorate whatever that thing is. So what I mean by that is, you know, you write down your goal, you tell us when you want to do it, where do you want to do it, who do you want to do it with, why does this matter to you, whatever it is. So you can add some data around it. And then there's basically three steps you can take. Step one is you can use a part of our AI to generate an action plan. So if you're like, I want to go, I want to go climb Mount Kilimanjaro. I don't know where to start, but here's some information about me. Generate action plan, click the button, and then we'll give you 7 steps to do it. The second thing you can do is you can find matches. And so for matches for us, there's 3 different types of matches. You can find a buddy. So that's someone else in Bucket Match who also has that same goal and wants to do the same thing as you. You can find a mentor. That's someone else in Bucket Match who has already done that thing. They've crossed it off their list and then maybe they can show you how to do it. Or number 3, which is coming out very soon, is you can match with like an expert. And so an expert would be like a service or a business that like has domain expertise in this thing. So in the case of, hiking Mount Kilimanjaro, it might be like a hiking company or like Viator. They offer tours to go hike Machu Picchu, Kilimanjaro. And then the last thing you can do is you can explore other people's ideas. So if you're like, cool, I've got my bucket list, I want to see like what else is out there, go to the explore page and you can see other bucket list goals that people have. Click to add them to your list. Or if you've done something that's on someone else's list, click a button and we'll automatically add it to your list and then cross it.
Have you ever had to remove someone's, like maybe someone's like, I want to break into my local Walmart.
Yeah, right. Anything that's illegal.
Yeah, is the AI ever like, I don't know, that's a good idea.
Yeah, like, right.
It still generates the action plan.
Yeah, it'll still. So the honest answer is no, not yet. Literally, it's me challenge reviewing accepted. Any goals that, yeah. So we'll see what happens. But so I do like a personal audit of all of the goals. But, and thus far, like I haven't seen any of that, but that's 100% going to be one of my biggest challenges is like people coming in and just writing ridiculous stuff.
Oh, dude, I got some ideas. I got some ideas.
Wait, so did you code this, Jeremy?
No, it's a good question. So I use a no-code platform. If you guys are familiar with no-code, is basically these platforms that were built to allow non-technical founders to
It's kind of products. Like widget-based?
Well, so I use a platform called Bubble. So it allows me to build the entire web app. There are like widget-based ones. This one's like a little bit more complex, more than like a drag and drop type interface, but it still requires zero technical knowledge. So I don't need to know how to code. I built the initial prototype, but then I quickly realized that like I'm not good at this and I should just hire someone else. So I've now brought on a dev team who manages all of the product.
That's probably good. I can't stand coding. When I look at it, like my roommate is a computer science major and it's just ridiculous. And it's not one of those things where you can like kind of just look at it and like eventually understand. It's like, no, you got to go through just hours, days, weeks, months to actually get a good grip on what's even going on.
Yeah. It's a completely different language.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's probably one of the hardest languages to learn, like honestly.
It's up there, yeah.
I mean, yeah, yes and no. You know, I have a lot of friends, like one of my best friends growing up, he studied history and English in college. His first job was at a temp agency out of college. He realized that wasn't the path he wanted to go on. He did a 6-month boot camp, and now he's a, you know, senior engineer making probably close to $500,000 a year. So there's a path, you know, if you just put in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got a guy or a friend that's doing computer software. Not a guy. He is a guy. He's my friend. But now he's like thinking about just doing like airline piloting, which would be cool. But,
no way! Wow, that's
yeah,
a big.
But it's,
yeah,
big
pivot.
Crazy switch up. But yeah.
Oh, isn't one of your bucket list goals, Braden, to get your license to fly?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to put it on there.
I feel like that's a good one to add because I don't see that one.
That's a good one.
That's a really cool one. I think I've seen a couple other people who have like pilot license type goals. I don't know if we have anyone who would be able to help you yet, but there are other people who have the same goal as you that maybe you can collaborate with.
For sure, dude. Oh, I'm excited to check out the website, bro. So
yeah, man. Would love to have you guys in there.
Yeah. Do you have... any advice for like, because a lot of people have very similar goals or like there's a lot of big ones. Is there one bucket list goal that like you think everyone should cross off before they're 30?
Oh, man. Great question. I've never had that one before.
Let's go.
I'm probably biased in this because I grew up traveling a lot. But I think before you're 30, you should try to live abroad. Like at least for a month, maybe a year. I lived in Japan for a year and then I've spent, you know, different months here and there living elsewhere. I think you learn a ton about yourself. You learn a ton about the world. The world becomes a much smaller place, you know, when you've actually lived somewhere. You can travel and you can visit somewhere. But you don't have like the same level of sort of immersive understanding of that country and that culture until you've just had to go through the day-to-day bullshit of like, I need to go get groceries, you know, like my water pipe stopped working again and I need to like, you know, call my landlord or whatever it is. There's something about just like being an ordinary citizen in a completely different country and having to just like deal with life that I think gives you like a great appreciation for just like how the world works. So that would be the one thing that came to mind for me.
Yeah, I can see that. Did you speak Japanese at all?
Yeah, I do. So my mom is from Japan, born and raised. So, you know, growing up, my sister and I, we were speaking Japanese to my mom, English to my dad. That definitely helped when I was living in Japan.
That's cool. Dude, I feel like that should get you like an automatic, like a one extra belt on top of the yellow belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
This is how it should work.
You got to go to the Karate Federation.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. Dude, how do you feel? Do you think like it would be realistic for somebody to be like, "Oh, I want to go to the moon"? Like, do you think it's getting more doable, I guess, to go to the moon?
So there's like, I think 10 people in Bucket Match who have on their bucket list just to go to outer space. It's already happening, right? Like, I think there's actually a launch that's coming up pretty soon.
Katy Perry, have you seen that one?
I've seen the headlines. Yeah, I'm still not sure if this is like a total joke or if it's for real.
I think they did it, right?
Oh, did they already do it?
What?
Bro, I think they did it.
I don't think so, man.
Bro, I think they did it. I think they landed, bro. They got the landing video.
No. That's a fake one.
Are you sure it's
fake? Oh, wait. No, it does say complete. What? No way. It must have just been past the atmosphere.
Oh, no. They only went up there for like 2 seconds. But
11 minutes? All right. This isn't even that crazy. And then they just fell back down with the parachute. Okay.
Bro, she like kissed the ground like she was out there for 6 months. Bro.
Yeah, I saw that video.
It was like less than a plane ride, dude.
Yeah, man. It was less than a shower.
Like, yeah. Yeah, dude, that's like kissing the ground when you're done with the bathtub.
Yeah, we've been on this podcast conversation longer than they were in flight, but
yeah, I'm gonna go kiss the ground
at the end of the day. You know, it's something that no one else has done, so
that's true.
It is pretty sick, dude. Like, I'm not gonna hate, I'm gonna diss.
It is pretty sick. It's obviously one of those goals that appeals to, you know, you got to have a certain amount of money or wealth to be able to do it. But I love seeing that, like, it's on people's lists. And I do think, like, within our lifetime, not that I'm not at all credible on, you know, space technology, but I have a feeling, you know, out of the three of us, maybe one of us will have gone to space.
Oh, okay.
Those guys, not it.
Yeah. Dude, I'm down, dude. I want to just go, like, I just want to like go grab like a hippopotamus and tell him that I'm not scared of him. You know, grab him by the neck and say, nah. I'm going to grab him.
It might be the last thing you do.
Nah, man. I feel like it'd just be so, because like you said, Jeremy, about like being so close to death, it's like makes you feel alive. I mean, until you're dead, but I mean, like, it's still cool. I think it'd still be cool. But,
hey, man.
Yeah, we should.
You know, you go for it. Like, yeah, if it goes sideways, you know, I want it on record that I did not encourage Braden to go do this. But hey, at the end of the day, if it's on your bucket list, man.
That's smart.
You know, I don't know. You don't have any like liabilities with this whole thing, do you? Because it's their ideas, right?
I mean, 100%. And like, you know, I've got a lawyer, a good buddy of mine, who's my lawyer, who wrote up all our terms of service and the privacy policy and everything. But that's a legitimate concern, right? In the same way that, you know, Airbnb had to be careful that, like, if someone dies in one of their hosts' houses, or like, you know, if there's an altercation between them, like, you're still liable on some degree. You can protect yourself, but at the end of the day, you still have to be careful of that. Uber, the same deal, right? Someone gets kidnapped from a driver, like, that's on Uber. So I've protected myself as best I can, but at the end of the day, like, I want to make sure that, you know, people are being safe and conscientious and like are doing it the right way. And as we get bigger, I know that that's going to be a problem that I'm going to have to tackle. So not a problem yet, you know, but I know it's on the horizon.
Yeah. That is something to think about, though.
Do you still live in New York?
No. So I'm in San Diego now. I moved to San Diego this past summer with my
It was early. It was early there.
Yeah. It's just before noon. Where are you guys?
I'm on the East Coast, in Charleston, and he's in Kansas City.
I'm right in the middle.
Yeah. Dang,
that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. We're kind of covering the whole country right now. Dude, this would be a sick little space crew, dude. Like, I'd be down.
Get our little space pod, man.
Dude, like, I'm just not sure if I would trust what's his face? The bald
Jeff
guy.
Bezos?
Yeah, Bezos.
Bezos?
Like, nah. If it was Elon sending me up, or like, I don't know, because I feel like Bezos, I don't know. Because a lot of his flights have been bad. So.
Yeah.
Oh, have they? Like,
yeah, he's had a lot of failures.
Well, how do you feel about Richard Branson?
Is that another billionaire?
Yeah, oh. Those are the three, I think. It's Bezos, Branson, yeah. And then obviously Elon.
It's honestly funny because we're just kind of living in like a movie. Like the billionaires are just playing around in space. And
oh, yeah, man.
That's kind of crazy.
Playing around the government.
It's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot going on. But
it's a crazy cool time, though. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I feel like the end of the world low key might be coming. I'm not trying to dampen the conversation.
Subject change. Speed up that bucket list is what you're saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah, man. Yeah, if you're serious about that, then time to get going. But you know,
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed sponsored jobs. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It could be. I think at the end of the day, like if you talk to anyone who did have a near death experience, that's typically one of the things they come up with, right? And when I was doing a lot of research around this, I looked at all kinds of studies done of people in hospice care, you know, people just in emergency rooms, hospitals, nurses would report back on like, what do these people think about? And yeah, it is about living life. You know, you're not concerned when you're on your deathbed or you think you're going to die. You're not worried about like that work deadline, or you're not worried about, you know, what so-and-so thought of you or how that thing went. And unfortunately, that occupies the majority of like our brain space during any regular day. But when you're really in that moment, the only thing you care about is like, how can I make the most of my time while I am alive? And so I think it's, you know, it's a simple question, but it's obviously very complex and it's hard to actually prioritize.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's hard these days. I feel like we're just so like wired. I feel like we're hardwired to just like, I don't know, fit in with the society and worry about what we're supposed to worry about, like jobs and like school. You know what I'm saying?
But I feel like a lot of it stems from the fact of need, like, you know, water, food, shelter. True. Those are the three basic things. And it's like we need money in order to get those. But then like on the hierarchy scale, we also want like, we want free time in order to do everything else we want. And so we need more money to create the free time. So that's why money's at the center, because money leads to that financial freedom, which allows you to go do fun things. But I'm sure that there are lots of bucket list things you can do without money and that are much smaller things. But in order to really like live that life, the way the world's set up right now, it's like you just need money.
Yeah.
At least in my
honestly,
opinion.
Capitalism is honestly like probably the best like way it's organized, you know? Like I feel like
right, because I'm sure bucket lists are a lot harder if you are in like a more socialist country. They probably
true, yeah, that's true.
Well, it just depends on what's on your bucket list, right? So like first of all, like Oliver, I agree with you. I think anyone, you know, I remember growing up and my mom would always say like money can't buy you happiness, and I believed that for a long time, but then I realized like it like freaking helps, you know, like it really helps. Know, like maybe money alone can't buy me happiness, but I wouldn't mind having more of it, because like you said, it's not that having money in and of itself makes you happy, but it allows you more freedom or more time or, you know, the opportunity to experience more things. But when I look at Bucket Match, what's interesting is you see like a lot of goals in there that really don't actually require a lot of money either, right? Things like, you know, I want to, like there's a person in there who like wants to build their rubber band ball to be 50 pounds, which is like super random, right? But you don't need a lot of money to buy rubber bands. I want to, you know, learn an instrument. I want to learn a new language. Like a lot of these things you can do without having a lot of money if you just dedicate the time and resources to it. And even on a deeper level, you know, I see people that say things like, you know, I want to reach out to my dad who, you know, I haven't known since I was like 5 years old or whatever, you know, who left me when I was 5 years old, or, you know, I want to call my mom more to tell her I love her. Like, there are so many things that we realize we want to do and make sure that we do before it's too late that you can do like right now. You don't need money. You don't need time. You just need that extra push or that catalyst or whatever it is. But with that said, like, yeah, I think you do. If it matters to you, you know, you should go after those things that'll get you money. That mattered to me. You know, when I was in my mid-20s, I moved to New York when I was 20, 25, and I grinded my ass off. But it was actually, you know, once I had reached these milestones, also the peak of my career, I just got a promotion at my job, making more money than ever before, living in a beautiful apartment in New York City. Like, I thought I had made it. And then when I hit that, and then I realized I was like no happier, you know, it lasted for a day maybe. That's what set me into this deep depression where I started to just question, like, can I be happy or am I always going to be chasing the next thing? And that catalyzed this like completely different view on the world, which is I shouldn't go after the things that society necessarily tells me to do. I should go after the things that matter to me. But I don't think I would have gotten to that clarity without having just done it myself. Like, if I didn't actually achieve that financial milestone that I wanted, I would never know that money alone won't buy me happiness, you know? So sometimes you just kind of have to go through the ringer.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
That's true, yeah. And there's always like time too. Like, I mean, I feel like some people get stressed out that it's like, oh man, like I've been going at it for so long, not knocking anything off my bucket list. Like, what's the point of starting? But I feel like you don't have to complete like a bunch of things. Like, as long as you just do something, I mean, like, start small, complete something big by the end of the year, at least. Like, go see the Northern Lights or something, like, plan it, you know? And it's like, that's enough, you know? I mean,
yeah, dude, yeah. My eggs this morning were enough.
Like, yeah, you're good for 10 years, man.
Yeah, man, write that down. That's going to get you through the hard times.
Yeah, the fact that you can make good eggs, bro.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I have a quick crazy question. has anyone ever like found love on like Bucket Match? Like, have they been matched with someone that like it ended up being a match?
I get that question a lot. Actually, people think, you know, when you hear the word Bucket Match, sometimes people think it's like a dating app for bucket lists, which I get, which might mean I need a rebrand. Which, by the way, I'm not like opposed to it. If people find, you know, their love through Bucket Match, I think that's awesome. It's just not like the number one focus.
It sounds like people falling in love with buckets, dude. Like, it sounds like a weird, like, I like that bucket of steel with the handle.
But yeah, so Oliver, short answer, like, I don't know. I don't think so. You know, we're still early, but I think like long term, yeah, one of the KPIs we should measure is like how many people actually end up at each other's weddings that they met through Bucket Match. Whether they're there as like a groomsman bridesmaid or they're actually getting married to each other. Because like frankly, like from my what a year experience having done so many things, I, you know, reconnected with guys and gals that I hadn't talked to in years, and like now they are some of my strongest friendships. Because we had this like incredible experience together of like doing this thing that was really hard that we all, you know, we went for. These are people that are going to be at my wedding for sure when I get married someday. And so I do think there's something there of like my most meaningful relationships in my life tend to come from my bucket list.
That's so cool.
Yeah, dude, that makes sense. Like when you experience really cool things with people, it just bonds you like so much, like more than just like having like a basic chat, you know, on Tinder
and,
or whatever.
And it also like makes you reach out to people. Like,
yeah,
it makes you be like, okay, I need to go get this yellow belt. Where am I going to do that? Who's going to help me? And then boom, connection.
Boom. Yeah. You're doing karate together, kind of touching, kind of cuddling. Like, that's just not it.
Exactly. It starts with karate. It can end in a lot of different places. But yeah, man, like when I went to go cliff jump in Hawaii, I needed a place to stay. I wasn't making any money, right? So like I was trying not to spend money and I just posted it to my Instagram. And then a friend of mine from college, her name's Jasmine, I hadn't talked to her in years. She reached out and she was like, hey, we've got a place for you to stay if you want. And so I was able to crash with her for 3 weeks for free. And like that really, you know, strengthened our relationship. We were always like, you know, we were cool with each other, but we were never like so tight. And even on that trip, actually, I reconnected with another buddy of mine who just happened to be in Hawaii at the same time as me. And he joined me to go cliff jumping as well. You know, just because he was like, cool, I would do that too. And he actually, this is like a weirdly long-winded story, but he actually also lives in San Diego now, and we go surf like every week together. So, but I don't think we would have had that same connection if we hadn't, you know, first connected in Hawaii. So I just think that, you know, like at least for me, and this isn't the case for everybody, but when I'm in pursuit of something on my bucket list, I'm open to the world in a different way, you know? And it's like where I'm happy and it's where I feel most myself is when I'm trying to do something that I've never done before. So yeah, makes life worth it for me.
Do you think like, it's kind of a random question, I don't know, but do you think like social media has like impacted people's bucket lists in a, I don't know, either a negative or maybe even a positive way? Like, do you think it's stopped people from like doing more? Or do you think it's maybe made it easier to connect? I'm not really sure. I can't decide. Do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I have a pretty strong opinion, which it's both. Like, for sure, it's both. You know, at the end of the day, social media and really any technology is a tool. And the way that you use it can either be used for good or for bad. And sometimes it's insidious in how it's bad. So what I mean by that is like, you know, like if you have a hammer and you use the hammer to like smack someone over the head, like obviously that's a bad use of the technology. But with social media and technology, like you don't even realize that you're using it in a bad way. And so I think obviously everyone knows if we scroll too much and, you know, you even mentioned this, like you're trying to get off your phone. We're releasing dopamine in a way that's really unhealthy for us, which is like, it's too easy. We're not actually pursuing the thing. We're just getting that immediate dopamine hit every 3 seconds by scrolling through our feed. And I think that's really, obviously that's really bad for our mental health. But where I think it is really helpful is, it can inspire you when you see someone else do something that was really challenging. So like what I mean by that is for me, I try to be really cognizant of sharing my story of trying to start this company. I know a lot of people want to start a company too, but it feels a little bit out of reach for them. And so I've done my best to try to share with the world, like my process, both my successes and failures, right? Like just trying to do this thing. Because just by seeing someone else who you know or you feel like you know going through the ringer and doing it, you start to visualize how you could do it too. You have more confidence. And I've actually, that's been one of the most rewarding things. I think, Oliver, you asked me this earlier, but of like success stories is I get people reaching out all the time who just tell me that they decided to try XYZ thing because they've seen me going after my dream too. And I'm not a success, right? Like I'm like, I'm making no money still, you know, I'm like working out of my garage, you know, on so many levels, I'm nowhere near a success with this business, but I think people admire just going for it and seeing other people go for it. So that's why I think social media is great is you get to, you know, amplify that.
Yeah. And I would 100% say that you are a success because success doesn't have to be monetary even.
For sure.
And that's a good point. You've definitely created an impact and will continue to be creating an impact in a lot of people's lives. So definitely
I appreciate
success.
That. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. You've successfully made my day.
You know what I mean? Hey man, that's what I need. I'm done for the day after this.
Dude, you go, yeah. You just go relax, man.
Go surf. Yeah.
Dude, that's sick. You surf too, bro. That's sick.
Yeah,
especially
I'm not good.
California waves are much different because he used to live with me in Charleston and we were like, oh, should we surf like baby waves? And we never ended up doing it. But
yeah, it's definitely different out here. If you're ever in San Diego, hit me up. And I can take you guys out.
That dude.
Be sick.
Yeah, yeah. Oliver, you got anything else or should we wrap it up? We don't want to take too much of your time.
Yeah, we can wrap it up.
Sounds good,
dude. I can't wait to hop on Bucket Mash, bro, and like get some ideas.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be cooking up some ideas for everyone,
for sure, dude.
Love to see you guys in there, and I hope you, write down your list and you know share it with each other or like you know other friends, partners, whatever it is. Just get it out there, you know. The first step is like writing it down, put a plan around it, share it with people, and then you'll go do some cool shit.
Yeah. Yeah, do you want to go ahead and shout out like your socials and stuff so everybody knows like how to contact you?
Yeah, for sure. You can find me, I'm on Instagram and I'm on LinkedIn. I'm not on any other social platforms, but if you just search for Jeremy George Bucket Match on either of those, you should be able to find me. Bucket Match's website is www.bucketmatch.ai. And if you wanted to take a look at my 52 weeks project, that's whatayearproject.com. But the last thing I ask of people is to watch the TEDx talk. You know, I think that helps kind of share the story. So if you just go to YouTube or TEDx, search Jeremy George, What a Year, you'll see the story.
Awesome. All right, cool. So thank you guys for listening. That was Jeremy George from BucketMatch.ai. Go, don't kick the bucket, do the bucket, knock some stuff off. That sounds kind of weird.
Wait,
I was trying to go something cool, but
let's go.
Just go do some cool stuff. Have a good day. See you guys.
Oh yeah. That was true.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.